Okay, we're going to start out by looking at select tutorials, which is under week 6. So please click on that and bring it up. Okay, this basically has a lot of definitions of CSS that you should take a look at. One of them is the document tree. Okay, so the document tree starts out with an introduction and basically tells you that it's going to be dealing with ancestors, parents, and children. So if I go to... Okay. That's supposed to be over there. Thank you. Okay, so if I go to ancestor, an ancestor of the whole thing is the body. Okay, if I look at the division, it's the ancestor to the things that are underneath it. If I go to the next thing, which is parent, descendant rather, okay, a descendant is underneath, so the div in this example has a descendant of the UL and the LIs. So it's basically the way we think of descendant and ancestor. Okay. The next one gets into parent. And a parent is an element that is directly above. So it's not the ancestor, it's the thing directly above. So this shows an example of a parent and a child. And then there's another example that also shows a child. Okay, so it's really the same thing. Now we get into a sibling. And a sibling is the same parent. So in this example, there is a UL and there are 3 siblings underneath it. All of them are LIs. So that vocabulary is an important part of knowing this. And then they go into multiple descriptions. So something can be a child, it can be a parent, it can be an ancestor, it can be a sibling, all of those different things. Now the main thing that I want to look in here is the selectors. And then I think you might find that the select is an action, a step-by-step tutorial down at the bottom is helpful. Okay, a type selector. The most common and easy to understand selectors are type selectors. Select any HTML element on a page that matches the selector. So this one is showing an EM, and it wants the EMs to have a color of blue. Okay, then they get into the class selector, and the class selector is where you set up a class. So you set up a class, in this case they set up a class for a paragraph, they set up a class for an LI, and whatever that class is will show up. So if the class is big, and big as they show here, is a particular font size and a particular font weight, then that will apply to the class big. Okay? Then if I want to, I can be more specific and say div.big, meaning big that is located within a division. Big.td, meaning big that is located within a TD. Okay? And they go through that in these pages. Okay, then they do an ID selector. ID selectors are similar to class selectors, as they said. They can be used to select any HTML element that has an ID attribute, regardless of their position in the document. The main difference is the IDs can only be applied once per page, while classes can be used as many times as needed on a page. OK? Okay. So that's an important distinction between a class and an ID. Okay. Down below under advanced stuff, they give you a should you use ID or class. And they comment on should you use ID or class. There's a lot of debate about this. Repeated use within a document, classes can be used as many times, whereas IDs can only be used once. Combine class selectors. You can use multiple classes to style an element, but you can only use one ID when styling an element. This means that class selectors have a wider range of application. And IDs have higher specificity than class, so in simple terms, as they say here, if a class selector and ID selector were in conflict, the ID selector would be chosen. So that's an important thing to consider. Okay, here is a descendant selector. So EM would apply to any EM. P space EM only applies to EMs that are below a paragraph. If you have a descendant selector, you can refine the EM element. Okay? So it's only descendants of a paragraph. And then a child selector is done with the greater than symbol. So I can say div greater than symbol EM, which means the child of a division. Okay. The universal selector is a selector for any element. It is used lots of times for setting up the color, default color of the font, or the default background color, or something like that. Okay, adjunct sibling selector is two siblings that are next to each other, and notice those are done with the plus sign. So H2 plus H3. And then attribute selectors are, if I have an attribute, I can specify that I want to use that. So an attribute selector, for example, image source equals small gif. So anything that is an image with a source is small gif is going to have a border around it. Okay? And this goes into those particular things. Okay. Following those in my notes, I have some examples. And if you look at those examples, you can see how I use some of these. So I've got style descendants. Okay, so if you look at these with style descendants, I started out and I've got something called, in my style, called span. And I took the span and said, okay, I want everything with span to be blue. But span that follows a division will be a different color. So I am getting a different color there. And this is not lining up terribly well, so I'm going to go down a little bit and see if I can get it so that it is all showing up. Let's see. Yeah, that's looking better. Okay, so with division, I specify division space span And I said, that span within a division, I want to be color orange. Then I have an OL, and with the class number 3, I want that to also be orange. And then notice the section, division within a section, and then the turn pink class within the division within the section will turn pink. And actually, the child one is doing the same thing, but just referring to it as a child. The next one going down is Style More. And this one I set it up so that I said, all right, the universal asterisk gives me a background color of beige. Div plus P, okay? So the div, we are looking for adjacent siblings here. So the div plus P is going to be orange. Okay, so a div and a P next to it is going to be orange, whereas the plain P was not. And then I said UL plus OL is going to be pink, okay? So I am setting that up that a UL with an OL after it, the OL is going to be pink. Then I said, all right, an image that has the source equals image GIF on it will have a border of blue, and an image where the alt is CIS image will have a border of green. And then the last one on this have here a standout, and that means I want to make something stand out, and that is a class because it says dot standout. And then I have another one that says P dot standout, so that means the class within a paragraph. So if the class is in a paragraph, it will have green as the color of the font. Then I've got a situation down below where I said I want a class standout and under. And that means that both of those things will apply. So I will take the standout and I will take the under. And the under call for getting underlining. And both of those will show up. Okay. Then I have a ULLI, so the LI is a descendant of the UL, and that is brown. And then I have a div P, okay, and the div P is going to give me the deep pink. It's a paragraph within a division. And then I've got an H2, H3, that is going to give me an orange. Okay, so I've basically gone in and I've got, for example, a class new look. And if I look at new look, it's got a background of gray and a color of red. So I can go in and change all of these things using a variety of CSS. So please go through these and make sure you're comfortable with the things that we're going over here. Okay, the next thing that I want to look at is the starting point for thought and discussion. And this is just a bunch of comments about what makes a good website. And it's just the starting point. What I would like you to do is really start thinking about what makes a good website, and we will discuss it next week. But I'd like you to start me thinking about what makes a good website and checking out websites that you like. You know, what is it you like about them? What is it you don't like about them? And trying to figure that out. Okay. So, as I said, I do not want to spend a lot of time on the CSS today because I want to also get into JavaScript. So we're going to leave the CSS and come back to the part that's on two columns and three columns next time and kind of add a little CSS to every class as we go along. So we are going to start looking at JavaScript. And JavaScript is essentially what I can add to my HTML page. And by adding it to my HTML page, I get the ability to ask questions. I get the ability to loop. And I add in the power of a programming language to HTML through JavaScript, so that it gives power to the web pages that you want to create. We're going to start out by saying JavaScript samples and go over there. And the first one I'm going to click on is HTML. And it says HTML, not HTML5. Okay. It comes up and says hello world in two different ways. It says it in a pop-up and it says it in a word that is written onto the page. So I've got hello world there. Okay. So when I click on the OK to make the pop-up go away, notice it changes the background. Okay, now I want to see the code. So I'm going to do a view page source. Remember, I'm in Firefox. And so what I'm doing is a view page source. And it will be expressed a little bit differently if you are in a different browser. Okay. So here is the code for Hello World. And it starts out, and I didn't put the doc type in here that made it HTML5, which is why I said it wasn't HTML5. And I didn't put any of the head and body in as well. All I did was say to the browser, this is a script, and it is a script where the type is JavaScript, and I've written it in text. Then I'm doing two things within that script. I'm saying document write hello world, and that wrote on the base of the page. And then I said put up a pop-up, which is done with an alert, and the alert came up. Now, document write and alert are both functions. And so they are document write parentheses. And within the parentheses, I put what I want to do. And in this case, I want to put out a literal. And the literal that I want to write is hello world. Since it is a literal, I put it inside parentheses, I put it inside quotes. And I ran out of room there, so in a minute I will get it inside. inside of the clothes. So inside the parentheses, I put the literal and I put it inside the quotes. And the same applies to the alert. It is also a function. And I will put the literal that I want to display in the pop-up inside the parenthesis. Now notice there is also a semicolon at the end of the statement. Okay, JavaScript gives me a semicolon at the end of the statement. So it works sequentially. And it put out the document right on the screen first, and then it did a pop-up. If I had reversed those two commands, the pop-up would have come up first, and then it would have done the document right. Okay, so it does it in order. The other thing about an alert is an alert stops processing until the user hits the OK. So it's a temporary pause in processing until the user hits the OK button. Okay? So that is a very simple, straightforward JavaScript. Okay, so now I'm going to go back and pick up the next one, which is Hello World 5. Okay? And with this one, notice it is saying hello world three times. Two times it is writing it on the document, and one time it is doing the pop-up. So I'm going to click on the OK, because again, it's in total stop mode until I click on the OK. And then I'm going to do a view page source to see what my code looks like. Okay, so this time I put in my doc type that tells it is HTML5. I put in my HTML, including language equals English, which they prefer. I put in my head, title, and meta character set. And then I started the body. And the body first put up a hello world with H1 tags on it. And that was outside the script. It was before the script started. And so that was just plain HTML. And it was an H1, and so you see the big writing, and that was it. Then I did the script. So I said, okay, now we're dropping down into the script. And when I got to the script, then I'm doing the document write that's also on the form. Okay? And then I put out the alert, which put the pop-up hello world. So I wrote the hello world three times. Okay? In the H1, I didn't have to put it in quotes because the H1 is expecting some text in there to put in quotes. With the document write, JavaScript requires that I put the literal, an alphabetic literal like that in quotes. But basically what this shows you is that I can write things in HTML and I can also write them within the script. And if I'm writing them within HTML, I follow my HTML rules. And if I'm writing them within the script, I have to follow the JavaScript rules. Then I close my script, I close my body. And if I'd wanted to, I could have done something after I closed the script before I closed the body. Okay, the next one we're getting in to multiply. So I am going to tell it to enter two numbers. Notice I have this multiply two numbers taken in through prompts. And then you see in the middle of the screen a prompt. and the prompt says, enter the first number, and it gives me a box to enter it in. And notice that there is a default of zero in that box. Okay, so I'm going to enter 5. And then I'm going to click on OK. And it's prompting me for a second number. So I'm going to enter 7. And click on OK. And it comes back and tells me the answer is 35. And below that, above that, it even tells me the 35 a second time, first time. So let's look at how this code worked. First of all, the H1 that put the multiply two numbers taken into a prompt is outside the script. So it's just plain HTML. When I got inside the script, I set up 3 memory variables. Okay, so these are memory variables, and one of them is called AntSign. And I give it an initial value of 0. The next one is called FirstNum. And I'm giving that an initial value of 0. And the next one is called second num. And I'm giving that an initial value of 0. Now, the equal sign here is not really an equal sign. It is an assignment sign. Because I am assigning a value to that memory variable. I'm assigning the value 0 to the memory variable. So it is not considered an equal sign, it's considered an assignment sign. And we'll get into more of that as we keep going. So I'm doing an assignment and sending them in. Then I put up a prompt, and that prompt is what got you the box in the middle of the screen. So I put up the prompt, and the prompt said enter the first number, and then the box, if you remember, had a 0 in it. Well, that 0 in the box was so that it kind of gave an initial value. So I entered a 5 there. So now FirstNum has been changed from a 0 to a 5. Because I said, take what the prompt brings in and assign it to FirstNum. And then I said, okay, now take what the prompt brings in, and I typed a 7, and assign it to second num. Okay, so I brought those in, first num and second num, have now changed. Then I said, okay, now let's do a calculation. And when you do a calculation, the answer goes on the left, and you do the work, the calculation, on the right. So I wrote out first num times second num. Is 35, so answer is now 35. Now I want to write out my answer. So I said document write answer. Notice there's no quotes around answer because I don't want to write the literal ANS. I want to write the content of what is in there. So I'm doing document write ANS. Okay? And so that wrote out the line that says 35. Then I wanted to leave a blank line. So I did a document write BR. And the BR is in quotes because it is going to send the BR that's in quotes to the browser. And the browser is going to say, oh, I recognize the BR. I need to skip a line. And so it does. Then it does a document write, the answer is, and the answer is a literal. Then it does a comma, which is a separator. And then it does answer, which is the contents of the memory variable. So the variable answer is going to be displayed. the content of the variable answer. It'd be in this way. So I then put out a blank line, which really wasn't necessary because I'm all done anyway. So I'm not real sure why I decided to put a blank line there, but it's fine. Okay. So this ended up getting me 35 alone, and then a 35 mixed in with the answer is. Note something, the answer is, notice that after the S is a space before the quote sign. What that basically does is make sure that I leave a space between the answer is and the 35 that I'm putting out. Okay, the next one I'm going in and adding a number. So I'm putting in, I'll do the 5 and 7 again. So I'm putting in the 5. And then I'm going to put in the 7. And notice I got two things. I got 57 and 12 for the answer is. Okay. So we're going to do a view page source and see what's going on here. Okay. I took in answer and other answer. Since I'm calculating it two ways, I put in answer and other answer. So I added another variable. First num and second num. I prompted for first num and I prompted for second num. And so those were 5 and 7. Now the problem that I have is a plus sign can be either to concatenate or to add. And the default in this situation was it concatenated. So answer became 57 because it concatenated the two numbers, the 5 and the 7. And 5 is in first num, 7 is in second num. It concatenated them and got a 57. And then it did document write, the answer is 57. That's not what I wanted. So what I have to do is convince the browser that it's dealing with two numbers and that I want it to add. And the way I can do that is parse float. And parse float allows me to have decimal numbers. Okay? I could use parse integer. Parse integer allows me to have whole numbers. But I'm using parse float. And the parse float will then convince the browser that these are two numbers. And it will then do an add. So other answer is going to end up adding the contents of first num and second num. And 5 and 7 makes 12. So other answer will be 12. I write a blank line, and then I wrote the other answer is 12. Okay. So parse float convinced the browser that we were dealing with numbers, and it should add. And I also could have used parse integer. JavaScript is incredibly case sensitive. So when I make up a name for something, I have to be very careful. If I call it all lowercase, I have to stick to lowercase. Parse float is a JavaScript word, and they decided that they were going to capitalize the first letter of the second word. So it is parse and then float, and the F is capitalized. Okay? So parse float has to be written with a capitalized F, or it won't work. Now, The next one we're going to look at is ad number continued. And I will again put in the 5 and the 7. And look at all the different things that I've got. Okay, essentially I used the first time, I just said answer equals first num times second num plus second num, and so it came out with 57. The next one I wrote I wrote other answer first, and I used parse float, and then I did a document write saying this is using parse float, and I wrote out the answer. Then I did it with parse integer, and I wrote out the answer. Then I did it with putting a plus sign in front of the field, but I had to put the field in parentheses. That would also work. And then I tried it with putting the word number, notice the capital N, in front of the first num, but the first num again had to be in quotes. So those are some other ways other than parse float that you can do this. Okay, notice that at some point I have put these BRs inside with the words that I was writing, inside with the little that I was writing. The BR has to be enclosed in quotes, and the literal has to be enclosed in quotes. And I can use the same quotes. And so I can put the quote and then put the BR and then put the literal, and that works just fine. Again, notice all of the semicolons that you're seeing with this. Okay, the next one I've got is an add divide. So I'm going to put in 2 for the first number, 4 for the next number. So I put in 2 and 4, and then I said, okay, add them together and divide by 2. Only I didn't follow the order of operation, because when I have the 2 plus 4 divided by 2, it does the divide first. Order of operations, divides get done first. So the divide gets done first, and I end up with 2 plus 2, which is why I got an answer of 4. Okay? On the next one, I said, okay, I want to put parentheses around this whole thing. So the parse integer first num and parse integer second num, I put parentheses around the whole thing. So I have 2 plus 4 in parentheses divided by 2. 2 plus 4 is 6, divided by 2 is 3. So that's how I get the 3. So you have to follow the order of operations that you learn in algebra or math and put parentheses around adds if you want them to be done first. So I had to put the parse in there, and I used parse integer this time, and I had to put the parenthesis around it as well. Okay, now we're going to start looking at making a decision. Okay? So I am now making a decision. Enter the first num, enter the second num. So I'm going to enter, an 8 for the first num. And then I'm going to enter a 4 for the next num. And then it says enter an asterisk or a slash. So I'm entering an asterisk. And that asterisk is showing me that the answer is 32. Okay, 4 times 8 is 32. Okay, so I took in the 4 and the 8 as first number and second number. Notice I am adding another variable here called what to do. And I didn't give it an initial value. I just put the semicolon indicating that I have not given an initial value. And that's fine. So now what I've got is what to do is going to be getting either an asterisk or a slash if the user follows instructions. So my flowchart for this is I start out and this board is very badly aligned. And then I come down and I define my variables. So I'm going to define the variables. And then I'm going to go down and I'm going to do my prompts. Okay? And you can either write out the prompts individually or you can just say, I'm going to do my prompts. And since I don't have a lot of room, I'm just saying, do the prompts. To take in first number, second number, what to do. Then I'm asking, is what to do equal to an asterisk? Okay, now, remember I said a single equal is an assignment. It's assigning something. Double equal is checking for equal. It's doing a compare. So on this I have if what to do and I have a double equal sign because I am comparing to asterisks. Is what to do equal an asterisk? If it is, then I take the yes and I do a multiply. Okay. If it is a no, then I do a divide. Okay. Now notice the way I do that. I am saying if what to do equals an asterisk, and I put that in a diamond. I actually should mention the different shapes here. The oval is the start and stop. The define or processing a calculation or something like that is a rectangle. IO is a parallelogram. Decisions are a diamond. And with decisions, you have two options, yes or no. True or false. So I'm saying if it's equal to an asterisk, then do the multiply. If it's not, do the divide. Now, when I write the code, the flowchart for that, I show the yes and the no, and I show a multiply if it's yes and a divide if it's no. When I write the code, notice that the thing I want to do if it's a yes is enclosed inside curly braces. And then I put an else, and that else is basically saying, now what do you want to do if it's no? So the else is basically saying what you want to do if it's no. And if it's no, I am doing the divide. Okay, so what does that mean, first of all? It means anything other than an asterisk is going to be a divide. So if somebody puts in an A, it's going to do a divide. If they put in a plus sign, it's going to do a divide. A divide will be done if it is not an asterisk. Probably not the best code. I probably should go back and ask the question specifically, did you enter a slash? Okay, so I can go back and ask that question specifically. But right now, I just have it that if it's not an asterisk, it does a divide. Then I drop out and do a write, okay? After I close the curly braces where it's not true, I come together and I do a write, and then I stop. Okay, so there is my script. So now what I want to do is I want to make the change to this to go ahead and put up the decision where I can ask the decision if it's not an asterisk, is it a slash? So give that a shot for a minute. Thank you. Okay. Here is a solution to this problem. And I am going to draw the flowchart for it as well. Okay. So I'm starting out, and I've got my start, and the top of the screen, it really doesn't show well. So I'll try to come down a ways. Okay, start. This really is not aligned. Sorry about that. And so I'm defining my variables, and then I'm doing the prompt. And this is a logic flowchart that is showing the logic that we're going through. So I'm first saying, okay, is what to do equal to an asterisk? And if it is, I do the multiply. If it is not, then I ask the next question. Is what to do equal to a slash? And if it is, I do the divide. If it's not, then I put out an error message. And I put out error. And then after that is done, I write and I stop. Okay. So now I am asking, if what to do is an asterisk, do the multiply. Else, if what to do is a slash, do the divide. Else, it's an error. They didn't enter either a slash or a asterisk. Now notice how these curly braces go. If what to do equals an asterisk, that's the yes. And I put those two together and they are the yes. Okay. Else, I have two curly braces that make the no. Okay. And else, I want to do all of the stuff inside those curly braces. Now, the first thing I'm going to do inside those curly braces is ask if it's a slash. And if it is, I do the divide. If it isn't, I do an error. So the curly braces have to line up. In fact, when I do them, I always count how many left curly braces I have and how many right curly braces I have so that I can figure out if I've got a matching one for everything. Okay, so what I would like you to try now is to go back and modify this so that it can have a plus or a minus, not just an asterisk or a slash, so that it can have a plus or a minus. Okay. Before I do that, I'm going to run this. So I go up, and this was called Mult Divide 2. So I have got Firefox, and remember, Firefox allows you to have a menu. And so if I come over and look at the three bars and the kind of bar inside, and I right-click on that, it lets me have a menu bar. And a menu bar is a wonderful thing because it now lets me easily go in and pick what I need. Or at least I think a menu bar is a wonderful thing. Okay. So I'm going to now have a menu bar, and I can do a file, open file, and I'm going to go to my F drive, and I'm going to look for multiply, divide, 2. Okay, so enter the first number, I entered a 6. Enter the next number, I entered a 7. Enter an asterisk. And I got a 42. So now I'm going to redo it, and I'm going to test the divide. So I'm going to put in an 8, and I'm going to put in a 4, and I'm going to put in a slash, and it is now giving me 2, which is also accurate. And so now I'm going to try one more time, and I'm going to enter a 6, and a 3, and I'm going to enter a plus sign and click OK, and it comes up with the answer is error. Okay, so now what we want to do is try one that would have addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. So I will give you a minute. Okay, the flowchart for this one, and I'm just going to put the if statement in here because I don't have a lot of room. So I'm asking, first, is it an asterisk? So I'm asking, is it an asterisk? And if it is, then I am going to do a multiply. If the answer is no, I'm asking another question, and I'm asking, is it a slash? And if it is, then I'm going to do a divide. And if it's not, I'm going to ask another question, and the next question is it a minus? And if it is, I'm going to do a subtract. And if it's not, then I'm going to ask another question, which is it a plus? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to do an ad, and if the answer's no, I'm going to do an error. And then I'm joining all my yeses and nos. I join the plus one first, and then I go back and join in the minus one. And then I go back in and join in the divide one. And then finally I go back in and join in the multiply one. And that's my logic flowchart to show what I'm doing. Notice I kind of did some shortcuts there, as opposed to writing if what to do equals an asterisk, if what to do equals a slash. I really did some shortcuts there. So now I'm going to go in and try this one. Notice, by the way, that I also changed the prompt for the what to do to include a plus and a minus in the prompt. So now I'm going to go and refresh this and enter the first number. So I'm going to do a add. So I'm going to enter a 6 and a 4 for an add. And then I'm adding the plus sign to tell me that it's an add I want to do. And it came up with the answer is 10, which is correct. Okay. So then if I try and do okay. File, open file for some reason. Okay. For some reason, it is not happy right now. I have no idea what's going on. Okay. So file, open. Okay, for some reason it now has decided to work. So I'm going to do this subtract, so I'm going to put in a 9 and a 3, and I'm going to choose subtract, and it is coming up with the answer of 6. So this is working. Okay. And I really should test them all, but I'm just not taking the time to do that, but I should test all of my possibilities, including the error. Okay, so that was Math Decision 5. Math Decision Better actually is the one that we looked at. That has the if what to do equals a slash. So that one is actually out there. Okay, now we're going to move on down and look at paycheck first. So I'm saying end of the hours worked, I worked 40. End of the pay per hour, let's try 50. So I entered the hours worked as 40, I entered the pay per hour as 50. I'm now entering an A, B, or a C, so I just picked an A. And the pay for the week is $2,100. So let's take a look at this. So I declared my memory variables, which are my pay answer, my hours worked, my pay per hour, and my pay code. then I put up three prompts, and the three prompts got me the hours worked, pay per hour, and the pay code. Then I said, okay, if the pay code is equal to A, basically they're getting hours worked times pay per hour plus a $100 bonus. If the pay per hour is a B, they're getting the hours worked times the pay per hour and a $50 bonus. If it's a C, they're getting a $25 bonus. And if there's anything other than an A, B, or C entered, they don't get a bonus. Okay? So, if I look at the logic on this one, and again, because I'm having problems rating, I'm going to just do the ask the question. So I'm saying if the pay code is equal to an A, then I'm going to do the hours worked times pay per hour plus 100. Okay. If I got a no to the A question, I'm going to ask, is it a B? And if it's a B, then I'm going to say hours worked times pay per hour plus 50. And if it's not a B, then I'm going to ask, okay, is it a C? And if it's a C, then I'm going to do hours worked times pay per hour plus 25. And if it's not, then I'm just doing hours worked times pay per hour. All of those get stored as pay answer. So down at the bottom, I can write out that I am going to give them whatever is in pay answer. Okay. So, I put in an A. I multiplied my 40 times my 50. It was 2,000. I added 100, and they get $2,100. Okay, the second one I said enter in the second pay. This is paycheck second. I am entering in John. Enter the hours worked, 40. Enter the pay per hour, 30 this time. Enter an A or a B. And the pay for John is okay. So let's see what the code behind that is. Okay, so in this one, I said, first of all, I'm going to calculate, before I even ask the question, I'm going to calculate the pay answer, the base pay. So I'm saying pay answer equals hours worked times pay per hour. That gets me the base pay. Okay, so that gets me the base pay. And then I asked, okay, if the pay code is an A and the pay answer is greater than or equal to 1,000, then they get a message that says okay. If the pay code is an A, but the pay answer is not greater than or equal to 1,000, they get the message up for review. If the pay code is not A, they get the message not eligible for review. then I finish that off by saying document right, and I write the literal, the pay for. I concatenate it with the name that they typed in, and I concatenate that with this week is, and I concatenate that with the message. Okay? So, the pay for John this week is okay. Okay, so now I'm going to write the flowchart for this decision. Okay, and after the prompts, notice I did a calculation. So I'm going to put that calculation in. Okay, so I'm saying pay answer equals hours worked times pay per hour. And then I'm coming down and figuring out what message I want to print out. So if the code is an A, then I'm going to ask the next question. And the next question is the pay answer greater than 1,000? Greater than or equal to 1,000. Both of those have to be true in order to get the message that says okay. So both of those have to be true. If the pay answer isn't true, I take the no branch and I put in up for review. If the pay code is not an A, I take the no off that question and I write the message not eligible for review. Okay, so I've now enclosed those in, and then I come down and I write out my message and the person's name and a couple of literals. So again, I'm saying the pay for, which is a literal, concatenated with the name that got entered, concatenated this week is, concatenated with the content of message. Okay, the next one is talking about using an and. So I said enter the GPA and I'll enter 3.8. Enter the number of credits, I'll enter 45. Not eligible for advanced courses. Okay, so here is my code. And I am asking two things. And I happen to be able to have a compound on them because if those two things are true, I want to write out eligible. If either or both are not true, I want to write out not eligible. Okay? So I'm starting out and I am saying, if GPA is greater than 3.5, okay? And I said, yes, in the flowchart. And then I say, okay, is number of courses greater than 45? Now, I put in exactly 45. I put in 3.8 and 45. So I didn't get two yeses. If I get two yeses, I would have put out the message eligible. But I didn't get a yes to the second question, so the no to that question is not eligible. And if the GPA wasn't greater than 35, the no to that was also not eligible. So only if both were true did I get an eligible. Now, I made this a compound. And by making it a compound, I am making it all in one sentence. And the ampersand is the way I write and. Okay. So ampersand means and. These could have been written with separate if statements, but I chose to write them all as one if statement. If I'd written it as two, well, take a minute and let's do that. Thank you. okay, this is the way that you do it in separate ifs. The flowchart is the same. But I now said if GPA is greater than 3.5, if it is, drop down and ask the next question. If number of courses greater than 45, if it is, document writing is eligible. If the GPA is greater than 3.5, but the number of courses is not greater than 45, then I put out not eligible. And at the beginning, if the GPA was not greater than 35, I put out not eligible. Okay, the next one has an or statement as opposed to an and statement. So what I'm basically saying here is either the GPA is going to be greater than 3.5 or the number of courses is greater than 45. Notice that four is a double pipe. Okay? So, if I'm asking this question, my first question is the GPA greater than 3.5? And if the answer is yes, it is, then they're eligible. If the answer is no, they're not, then I have another chance. An or gives me a second chance. So is the number of courses greater than 45? And if it is, they're eligible. If they're not, then they're not eligible. Let's take a minute and turn that into single if statements. So take a minute and take this code and turn it into single if statements. As opposed to the compound or. Okay, so here, if I enter the GPA as 3.8 and enter the credits as 1, they are still eligible because only one of the things has to be true. Okay. If I enter the GPA as 1 and the number of credits as 1, they're not eligible. If I enter the GPA as 4, or no, as 1, but the number of credits as 60, they are eligible. So I can write those in single or compound. This is a situation where the state must be Massachusetts, and the code must be A, or amount must be greater than 50 to meet the criteria. So if I type in MA and then the code of A, it doesn't matter what I type on the next one. They meet the criteria. Okay. So here is the code for that. Okay. To write out the flowchart for that, and we're going to go back and review this next week also, because I want to make sure this makes sense. I'm starting out by saying, okay, is the state equal to Massachusetts? If it is, then I ask, code an A, and if it is, then it meets the criteria. If the code is not an A, then I've got a second chance, but it still has to be Massachusetts. But if the code is an A, I have a second chance, and that is the amount greater than 500. And if the answer is yes to that, it meets the criteria. So again, what I said was Massachusetts and either, okay, and either amount greater than 500, I'm sorry, either code equals A or amount greater than 500. If the amount is not greater than 500, then it does not meet the criteria. And I still have something open here, and that is the state not Massachusetts? And if the state's not Massachusetts, then they did not meet. So the state has to be Massachusetts, and then either of the other two things has to be true. Either of them. It doesn't matter which. And as I said, we'll pick up some more on this next week. And the last one I'm going to look at is the same thing. But I am writing it in a compound. Okay. So this one is written as a compound. I'm saying state equals Massachusetts and the either part has to be in parentheses. Okay, so I'm saying and either, and that has to be in parentheses. Because remember that ands in mathematics and programming, ands are resolved before ors. So if I didn't put the parenthesis there, it'll mess things up. But parenthesis can change the order. So by putting the parenthesis there, it says Massachusetts and either of those. If I had taken the parenthesis out, then it would read it as Massachusetts and Code A, or amount greater than 500, which would stand alone. So if I took the parenthesis out of there, it would be, I've got to have Mass and Code A, or just amount greater than 500. Okay, so that really doesn't make sense with what I wanted. And we will pick that up next time. I've covered as much as I want to cover today, and we will pick it up next time with loops, with looking more at the if statements and looking at loops.